morning. And that was a beautiful song to end things off, as it were, for singing. That was a beautiful song. I know Fennel loves it. I love it too. It's a beautiful song. And we pray that everyone could say, "It is well with my soul" this morning. If you're saved, you can say that. If you're not, wow. We got some problems this morning. Good to be here. Good to be able to share from the Word of God. Some of you were here last week. You're going to have to hear me once again. And Lord willing, you won't have to hear me for a while. I want you to turn your Bibles, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at four different things today. First of all, a message to be contemplated. Something to look at, something to behold or to think about. A message to be contemplated, then a matter that must be considered. Our sinfulness and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Do you understand that? That is our point this morning. A matter that must be considered. Secondly, a man that must be confronted. A man that must be confronted, every single one of us. Doesn't matter where we live, where we're from, what color we are, nationality or nothing. There is a man that we must confront. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must confront Him. And lastly, a moment to be confessed. In one moment, you can be saved. In a moment. The word confessed means to admit. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Do you believe that? God asks you and I to believe His Word. That's what He asks. He doesn't ask us to be goody-goods. He doesn't ask us to behave. He asks us to believe. Believe what He says and take it to heart. Take God's Word at face value. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. It's what God asks us to do. Turn 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul speaking, and he's speaking to a group of people, the Corinthians, and at this time there was a question asked about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead. And Paul is speaking here in a few verses. He's telling them, as it were, the whole gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and the third day He rose again. My friends, if Jesus Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, we could not be saved. That is a very integral part of salvation, of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is alive today. And we come and we worship and we are saved by a living Savior, one who died for our sins. And He is now raised from the dead. And He's in heaven. And you and I someday will be raised after we die. We don't die, and we're not like a dog. We die and that's the end. That's not it. There's life after. And you're going to spend it, if you will. The word spend. You're going to be in one place or the other, either in hell or in God's heaven. And that's what God wants for you, to be in a place, as we spoke last week about places. God wants you to be in a prepared place, which is for prepared people. John chapter 14, that is heaven. John, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 to 6. Moreover, brethren, Paul again is speaking to a bunch of Corinthians here, and there is a thought has crept in that there is absolutely no resurrection from a group of the people. And so Paul is giving them the whole gospel, if you will. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, or the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. That is your standing the moment you're saved, the standing with God. You are accepted in the Beloved. By which also you are saved, that is by the gospel, if you keep in memory or hold fast what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe He was buried? And do you believe that He is raised from the dead? Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. And if you went to Galatians chapter 1, verse 18, and you see that Paul received the gospel. He received it directly from a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by man. Not from man. He received it directly from God in heaven. My friends, that is very important too. This is not something he went to a religious college, university to learn. He received it directly from the Lord. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, according to all the Old Testament Scriptures at that time. The Bible was not fully written, but at that time there was the Old Testament. And all the people from that time, at that time, they could read the Old Testament. And it told, even in some of the Scriptures, about his death. We read this morning, our brother in Isaiah 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. It said, it told about his crucifixion, Psalm 22, and many other places in the Old Testament, that this would happen. That was prophesied. Christ would die for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And now Paul is given some proof of his resurrection. And he was seen of Cephas. That word Cephas is Peter. Peter, one of the apostles, one of the disciples, then of the 12 disciples. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep or have died. Those are 500 people. Those were believers, those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is proof of his resurrection. And then he goes on to say, after that, he was seen of James. That would be, James would be, had the same mother as the Lord Jesus. Mary would be his mother. So he would be, if you will, a half-brother, if you will. James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also. This is speaking of Paul as one born out of due time. We see that Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9. When the Lord dropped him, as it were, from his horse to the ground, and he said, "Whom art thou, Lord?" So Paul is basically, what he's doing, he's putting a stamp of approval. He's trying to tell these people, listen, you have heard the gospel, I have preached it. I want you to understand the whole gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, not his own. He did not hang on that center cross for his own sins. He died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he is in heaven today. And as we heard this morning, he is in our very midst. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is here this morning. The Spirit of God is here this morning. And he may be speaking to you if you're not saved. Just like he spoke to me. We're talking to a brother Bill there before the meeting, and I believe 7 billion people in the world today, every single one will sometime in through their life will be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by their conscience, by creation. The Lord will not leave anyone out. He will speak to them. And my friends, they have the option to say yes or no. You do too. You have a choice. There's the sovereignty of God, as we mentioned. There's also the responsibility of man. Your responsibility is to react to what the Lord has said to you. What he has relayed to you through the Word of God, through a preacher, through the gospel, through the Spirit of God, through creation, through conscience. God speaks to people. No one will be left out. And that's why in Revelation chapter 20, and we see at the great white throne judgment, no one will open their mouths, those will be cast in the lake of fire. No one. Why? Because no one will have an excuse. Just like I didn't have an excuse. 31 years of age before I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Brought up in a Christian home where the Bible was opened daily. Heard the gospel over and over again. A message that needs to be contemplated. And I'm saying this because a lot of us here have heard it over and over and over again, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Today, people think about universal salvation. 2 weeks ago, I was at a big church in this city. Marble, beautiful place. Some of the scriptures were mentioned, but not explained the way they should be in the Word of God. Led astray. And there's a lot of people today in this world who have a mental assent that Jesus Christ died for their sins. There's a lot of people standing in pulpits this morning, and they're telling people that basically we're all going to heaven. My friends, that is a lie. There's all kinds of isms in this world, as we mentioned. There's Catholicism. There's Mormonism. There's Protestantism. There's Confucianism. There's Buddhism. There's mysticism. There's Hinduism, Buddhism, Mohammedism, Modernism, Communism, and right on down the list. My friends, there's over thousands and thousands of religions in this world. They are man-made. There's only two beliefs in this world today, as we mentioned last week. There's one belief that most of these religions believe, that they can get into God's heaven their way. They don't need a Savior. Christianity came along, and Christianity, true Christianity, or being born again, believes that you need a Savior. That is the only way you can get into heaven. Those are the only two beliefs in this world. And so you can wipe all the religions off the face of the earth, if you will. And there's only two beliefs. You either believe that you don't need a Savior and you can get into God's heaven, or you believe that you need a Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ says He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through Him. And that's what God is trying to get across to us this morning, a message that needs to be contemplated. Sit back for a moment and think about that message, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, not for His. And if you look at that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we see that there was two thieves there. And both of them heard everything the same, if you will. Everything, they saw what was going on, the miracles the Lord Jesus Christ had done. They heard all the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They saw scribed above His cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." They heard all the things that were said about Him. But there was one person, one of those thieves, that he started to behold this person who was hanging right next to him. And he said, "You know what? Why is he dying there? He's not dying for his sins. He must be dying for my sins." He says to the other thief, we're getting just exactly what we deserve. We are thieves. But what's he doing dying here?" And the other one didn't. He was thinking only of himself. It never crossed his mind, or he didn't want to let it cross his mind, that this man was dying for him. And the other man, he said, "Lord," he called him Lord, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And that's all he had to say. And the Lord said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." That is, he had to confront this man, didn't he? And so do you. When Jesus Christ will not knock down your heart's door. He will not beat you over the head with a baseball bat or anything else. He will not drag you into His heaven. But He is standing and He's knocking at your heart's door. How do we know that? An illustration verse in Revelation chapter 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him," or sup with him, "and he with me." The latch is on the inside. And my friends, many times people have come to our doors, to our door of our place, and you have the option or the choice to get up and open it. With someone you love, someone you love to spend some time with, you'll get up and open it. There's others you just assume they didn't come. And maybe you don't go to the door. You hide in the bedroom or somewhere else, turn off the lights and everything else. And that's the same thing with the Lord Jesus. He's knocking at every heart's door. Sometime, somehow in your life, and you have the option to open the door. Remember, He died for your sins. Remember, He has done everything for you. Remember, He has made provision for you to be restored back into fellowship with a holy God. Remember, if He didn't die for you, you'd go to hell. And if you're not saved, that's where you're going anyway. But He has given you an option, and He asks you to believe what He says, to believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your way, your ticket into God's heaven. That's pretty simple, isn't it? A message to be contemplated. Let's turn over to John chapter 8. And I just want to remind you about a verse in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death." The wages. We know what wages is. Something that is given to us for what we have done. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. See, eternal life or salvation is a gift from God. Something we do not deserve, but He will give it to us the moment we ask. The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that verse. Turn to John chapter 8. A little story about the religious leaders at that time when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on the earth. And it's so amazing how the Lord, how he reacts to people, how he works with them, how he does not force them to agree with him. Yet he was the sustainer of life, the creator of the world, and yet he did not force him to believe him. Reading in at verse 19 of chapter 8 of John's Gospel. Now this is the Jewish leaders speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, listen to this, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself?" In other words, will you commit suicide? What's he talking about? They didn't understand. They were ignorant of the fact who this person was. Just like the world today, just like in a lot of churches today, so-called churches, they are ignorant of the fact they're in bondage of their sin, their self, and everything else, just like these same people at that same time. Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, because he says, where I go, you cannot come?" And he said unto them, "You are from beneath." In other words, you think too lowly. You're of the earth. You're thinking of the earthly things. You are from beneath. I am from above. I am from heaven. You are of the world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am. That word I am, it says I am he in your Bible. That little word is in italics. I am means deity. If you go back to the Old Testament, I am that I am means that he was God manifest in the flesh. And he was standing right in their midst. They did not understand who he was. Neither did they want to know who he was. They ignored him. They were ignorant of the fact that he was their Messiah. He was the Savior of the world. And they made fun of him. And of course, ultimately, they crucified him, didn't they? What would people do with the Lord Jesus Christ today if he walked on this earth right now? Would they build him up like all the movie stars today? The rock stars? Would everybody bow down before him? I don't think so. Because he was meek and lowly. He'd just be like an ordinary person. And people would laugh at him when they said he was the Lord. When he would say to them, "I am your Savior, I die for your sins." That's what he was doing when he walked on the earth. That's what they did to him. "You shall, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins." And my friends, it's the same thing today. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, and that he died for your sins, he was buried and rose again. If you don't believe that with all your heart, my friend, you're on the way to hell. I don't care who you are. God is no respecter of persons. That is the way it's going to be. Let's go on to look at verse 27. "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." He spoke to them again of God being his Father. "Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man," that is, when you put me on the cross, "and then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth the moment you believe, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never bond in any bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or "truly, truly, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The Lord Jesus said that. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Lord Jesus says, if you have sinned, you are the servant of sin. And my friend, you cannot get into God's heaven that way. You need to have your sins forgiven. And by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only one who can forgive you. Why? Because he died for your sins. These people had a low outlook of things. No spiritual understanding. They would be forever prevented from entering into heaven if they died in their sins, just like you. He told them he was going away. And again, that is not another part of his resurrection. He was raised the third day, and he ascended after he spent 40 days on the earth, revealing himself to others. He ascended into heaven, and that is where he is today. He's back where he came from. And he came with a purpose in mind to finish the work that the Lord had given him to do. And in so doing, he made provision for every single man, woman, and child. He will not force anyone to accept him, but he is the one who made provision. And if you will come to him and agree with him and believe what he says and follow him, you know, he also goes on to say here, if you will keep my word, if you're my disciple, you know, a true disciple? A disciple is someone who follows the word of God, someone who follows him, a follower. We don't read the word of God to follow him. We follow him, and and that's why we read the word of God. Do you know that? We want to get to know him better. Why should we want to get to know him better? Because for all eternity, the moment the time ends, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved. That's what should drive a person to read the Word of God. We don't read it because it's our duty. We read and we study, we meditate the Word of God because we love him so much for what he has done for us. Have you appreciated what Jesus Christ has done for you? We should get to know him better. That's what he says in the, then said Jesus, look at verse 31, to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why we read the word of God, because it's truth. It's not just something that is true or a little bit true, it's truth. Something that is absolute. That's when we get a hold of the word of God, we get a hold of what God says about us, about him. And my friends, that's what drives us. That's what makes us appreciate what God is. And that's why we read the Word of God. A matter that must be considered. We are sinners, just like these people who were ignorant, and they were in bondage to what? Sin, to themselves, and to all the things of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver them, to set them free. And the truth shall make you free. We must go on to the next one. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. A man that must be confronted. And this is what Pilate says. This is Pilate, the leader of the government, if you will, at that time. The one who he thought had the power and authority to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to the point he knew that this man was innocent. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ had committed no crimes. In fact, he even said so, I find no fault in this man. A number of times he says, I find no fault in this man. His wife would say, have nothing to do with that righteous man. And yet what it came down to was, Pilate says, you know what? I have a great job here, don't I? I have a great income. I have preeminence. I have power. I have all these things. And you know what? If I give this man into the hands of these people and let them crucify him, he said, I'll still have my job. But yet I can find no fault in this man. And listen to the question that he asked these people. He asked other people to give him their opinion. Have you ever stopped for a moment and said, or thought about God, and sometimes you go to your friends and say, you know what, I wonder what about God. Is that real? Is all the stuff about Jesus Christ, is that true? Or is it just a hoax? Is it just something like a lot of other things in the world today? Something that is made up. Have you ever done that? And somebody would say, oh, don't listen to that stuff. You know what? You never want to be too heavenly minded, or you'll be no earthly good. Don't listen to that stuff. Don't take it so serious. Have fun. Probably there's no God anyway. Did you ever hear that? It's in the world today. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 27. He asks this question. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I'm asking you this morning, what then will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? The word Jesus is his earthly name. He was God the Son. His earthly name was called Jesus, which means salvation, by the way. Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. What will you do with the Savior of the world today? That is your decision. Just like it was my decision when I was 31 years old. And my friends, you will be confronted with that question. You're confronted with it this morning. And when you leave this building in a few moments' time, you say, well, I am going to do nothing about it. I don't want to have to make a decision. You know what? You've already made one. If you do nothing about it, you've already done that. You're either going to say, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. And you're believing not just a mental assent, but you got it down in your heart, because that's what we're going to look at in the last verse. Our heart, as I mentioned before, our heart of man doesn't talk about our blood-pumping organ. The heart of man involves our minds. That is our thought processes, our motives, our intentions, our actions come from our mind. What about our will? Our volition, that is the other part of our hearts, is our will. I will believe it or I will not. Or I will believe half of it or I will not. And what about our emotions or our feelings towards God or our attitude towards God? That is a part of our heart. Our minds, our wills, and our emotions are our hearts. That's what God wants. When he talks about our heart, that's what is involved. And my friends, you will be confronted with this man. You could go to John's Gospel chapter 3, another man called Nicodemus. He was confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Another man who was filled up to the eyeballs with religion. Another man who was absolutely brilliant. He was an intellect. But he did not understand when the Lord Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. He didn't have a clue what the Savior was talking about. Do you understand what Jesus Christ means when he says you need to be saved? You need to be born again. You need to be redeemed. Do you understand what it means? Do you want to? Because these men had a desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at Zacchaeus. He ran ahead of the crowd. The crowd could have blocked him. He was a short little fella, but he wanted to see Jesus, who he was, and he climbed up into a tree to see him. He put an effort into it, didn't he? He had a desire to see who he was, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and when there's a seeking sinner meets the seeking Savior, my friend, there will always be salvation. To this morning, or any morning, any night, any time of the day. But those two things need to happen, because Jesus Christ will not beat you over the head nor force you to love him. Talk about the man we mentioned, I believe, this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He came into this world. He lived here for over 33 years, walked with men, saw everything that was going on. We mentioned this morning at 12 years old, listening to the religious leaders and their instructions and so on, and think about what he was thinking. As our brother has mentioned, he already knew all the answers, and yet he never said a word. And at 33 years old, he went to Calvary's cross, and he died for those religious leaders, for you and for me, for our sins. He did it because he loved us. He wanted us to have us with him for all eternity. He did that for you. He did that for me out of love. And I can ask myself, why in the world would he ever love me? You could ask yourself, why would he love you? And the question comes back to you, what then will you do with Christ, with Jesus, who was called the Christ? What will you do with him? Cast him off? And you know what? You can walk out of here, and I will never know the difference what you're going to do with him. Because you can do with him what you want. But there will be results. You say, well, I got lots of life ahead of me. Do you? It's appointed on a man wants to die. When is that appointment due? And after this, the judgment. Amos chapter 4 says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared? When are you going to meet him? You're going to meet him. A man that must be confronted, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. No other religions, no other person, no other anything. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So many verses in the Word of God that keeps bringing you back to the cross, bring you back to Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. We must go on, lastly, to the last one, a moment to be confessed. It takes one moment for you to be saved. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and verse 13. Many people were saved by these verses. A moment to be confessed. The word confessed again, to me, it means to admit, to name, to admit. Look what it says. That if thou shalt confess or admit with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Remember what we said the heart was? Our minds, our wills, our emotions. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. There again is the resurrection that is so important. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness or salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We go back to again to Luke chapter 23, and that thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those who confess, those who admit that Jesus Christ died for them on Calvary's cross for their sins, they come with a changed mind. That is what repentance means, a Godward change of mind. Not a mental assent, but a Godward change of mind. And in the heart of hearts, we say, Lord, I believe with my mind, my will, and emotions, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. When he died, he was dying for me. A substitutionary death. He stood in my place. He paid the penalty for me. I accept that. I believe it. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what he says in John chapter 1, verse 12. Have you ever done that? That if thou shalt confess. That's what I did in 1982, December 22nd. I said, Lord, you are right, and I am dead wrong. All my way of thinking, all my thoughts, my motives, my intents, and my actions are against you. My will is that I'll be like the prodigal son. I will arise and go to the Father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am not worthy to be called your son. That's what the prodigal son said. And he didn't even have to get those words out of his mouth, and the father came running. And fell on his neck and kissed him and kept kissing him. That's what the Lord will do to you. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. The Bible says clearly in Matthew's Gospel and the Gospels, out of the abundance of the what? The heart, the mouth speaks. And my friend, the moment someone is saved, I'll tell you the words that comes out of their mouth will absolutely be like night and day, changed forever. Absolutely new words. Absolutely respect and reverence for God. We talked about it last week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you have reverential respect for who God is and for who his son is, my friend, you will be saved. And the words that will come out of your mouth will be totally different. I used to have a filthy mouth raised in a Christian home. Filthy thoughts. The moment I was saved, something that I tried when I wasn't saved, tried to clean up my mouth a little bit. Couldn't do it. The moment I was saved, and I believed, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. Do you know what? Out of my mouth started coming praises to God. Started praying. Never used that filthy stuff again. Yes, there probably was a couple of times, a few little things slipped out, but nothing like was before. Did I change myself? No. Salvation is of the Lord. And when God saves you, when He truly saves you, when you truly believe, my friend, you will be a brand new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you believe that? You say, I may believe it, but have you accepted that? Have you done what God asked you to do? Believe and accept His Son as your Savior. A message to be contemplated, that is the gospel message. A matter that must be considered, our sinfulness, our wickedness, our ignorance. We can't think like God thinks, although man tries to. That's where we get all these philosophies and my way of understanding, my way to thinking and so on. That's where all the religions came from. We try to think like God. He has an infinite mind, my friends. Ours is finite. It can only go so far, just like a ceiling on this roof. God controls this whole universe. Billions and billions of stars. He's got everyone named. He's got the hairs of your head numbered. He has the sparrows fall out of the sky. He knows when one falls. He knows everything about. Look at the universe. That is a God who loves you and has done everything for you. And all He asks you to do is to believe and to trust Him and come to Him and say, Lord, save me from my sins. Pray the Spirit of God with open hearts and minds this morning. We pray the Spirit of God would convict people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Because the Lord is coming back very, very soon. Do you believe that? I do. Look at the world today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for Thy kindness to us, Thy loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank Thee most of all, Father, for giving the very best that heaven had. Your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God meant what He said. Paul would say about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. God gave His Son, and His Son gave His life, that I might have life. Someone who was dead in trespasses and sins. One day, Father, the lights were turned on. I believed. And Father, I have eternal life, not because of anything I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Father, part us with Thy blessings and help us to appreciate a little more what You have done for us in giving Your Son at Calvary's cross. Part us with Thy blessings, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could we sing one song, one verse of number 62, Just As I Am? Because that's how you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I can't see Him. No, you can't. Neither could I. But by faith, I believe His Word. And we come just like we are, with all the baggage, with all the sinfulness, all the wickedness. We come to Him and we say, Lord, You're right. I am wrong. Please save me from my sins. Look at verse 5. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because Thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 5 of number 62, and the meeting will be over. Just as I am,